Hello. Hello. I'm Kendra.
And I'm August.
And you're listening to Book Dumb, the bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
This week, we're giving you guys some bonus content. We're doing our reading wrap-up, just like we've done every other month so far this year. So in this bonus episode, we are going to share everything that we read in July and August 2021 and our ratings for them.
Yeah. So we've done a few of these before. So you know the drill.
Mm-hmm. But before we jump into it, we're not going to share what we're currently reading because we'll get into that at the end. Do you want to tell me how many books you read in these 2 months? Also, should we know we're recording this on August 25th, so we might read more by the end of the month.
We'll see. I don't know. It's been a really slow August for me. I've read 15 books between July and August.
Nice. And I have read 16, so beating you by one.
God damn it,
August. Always doing better. Just kidding.
It's true.
No. Okay, should we just jump on into our first books of July?
Yeah, do you want to get us started?
Sure. So my first book, which was my 51st book of the year, was My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell. We did an entire episode on this with spoiler-free and spoiler-filled discussion fairly recently. This book came out in 2020, and I gave it a 3 out of 5.
I also gave that book a 3 out of 5. So the first one for July for me is They Both Die at the End by Adam Silvera. This was such a sweet little fluffy, heartbreaking little read. I gave it 3.5. Really great.
Nice. And then the next one for me was The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams, which is a play that came out in 1944. And I gave this a 4 out of 5. I really liked it, but I still prefer Streetcar Named Desire by him.
Cool. The next one I read in July was Near Witch by Victoria Schwab. I gave this a 3. Looking back, honestly, it's probably more 2.5. There's nothing wrong with it. It's her first book. I just like other books by her more. And it just definitely reads as a first book.
Okay. Next book for me is one that I'm really excited about. It's a 5 out of 5. And that's Mystic River by Dennis Lehan. Came out in 2001. I listened to the audiobook for this, I believe, on Hoopla, which is the audiobook app for public libraries, or one of them. And I really wish that I had a physical copy for this. So I think I'm going to reread it fairly soon. We also have an episode coming out on this book as well. So
I know we just recorded an episode on that book, but I would for sure reread it. I love that book so much.
Good. Everyone was hyping it up, and you had already read it before. And I am mad at myself that I hadn't read it earlier. Like, absolutely loved.
But it's a good feeling to know there's still 5 out of 5 books out there in the world to read.
Yeah.
Up next for me is The Hour of the Star by Clarice Lispector. I get into this, I think, on Instagram quite a bit. I just didn't rate this because I didn't have a fun time reading it, but it was so clearly, my kitten's attacking my cord. Hold on. So clearly, God damn it. So sorry. The disrespect.
Zelda just jumped.
She walked across my keyboard. I was like, do not crash this recording. Again, I apologize, August, and everyone listening, for my disruptions.
It's okay, as long as it's Zelda.
It's true. So The Hour of the Star, I just didn't enjoy reading it, but I could tell objectively it was incredibly well written and a powerful story. So I didn't rate it because I didn't think my experience was fair to like other people who might be interested in reading it. Very postmodern, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, I think that's fair because I gave Hour of the Star a 5 out of 5 and I stand by that. Love that one a lot. And you read that one for the Tiny Book Challenge, right?
Yeah, a bunch of tiny books coming this way.
Yeah, so we both have a bunch of tiny books. That's Jess's book stack. Is that Instagram?
Is it okay. Jessica's book stack?
Jessica's book stack or Jess's book stack?
Look up both. I'm sure both are great accounts.
Or just the hashtag Tiny Book Challenge. It was really, really fun. So my first one for that challenge was Freshwater, a Comedy by Virginia Woolf, not Freshwater by Koike Emezi. I know a bunch of people, when they hear Freshwater, they think of their book. And I still really want to read that one, but this is one by Virginia Woolf. This one was really, really weird. Came out in 1935. It's her only play. And the version I read was really neat. It had illustrations by Edward Gorey in it, the kind of spooky illustrations that we see all around. There's some great books by him and illustrations by him. And I gave this a 3.5 out of 5 because definitely not my favorite Virginia Woolf, but still pretty fun.
I'm sorry it wasn't your favorite, but I'm glad that you still enjoyed it enough. Up next for me is Intimations by Zadie Smith. I gave this a 3. It was super just like underwhelming for me. And it's, they're small, very short essays, like 4 or 5 page essays. Of her experiences during the pandemic, which begin pretty interesting. There's a few that are really good and others just really missed the mark for me. I'd still recommend reading it though. I read it in one sitting.
Yeah, I definitely need to get on some Zadie Smith soon. Definitely will, saying it now, unless my mood reading just takes me in a different direction. The next book I read, I really tried. I read Glengarry Glen Ross by David Mamet. I don't know why I keep trying to read Mamet. I think this is the 5th play of his that I've read, and I'm just not a fan. He's just, he's not for me, and that's okay. But this play came out in 1984. There's the very famous film adaptation, and I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Oof.
I just don't like Mamet. I can't do it.
You don't need to apologize to me about that. I'm with you.
Next, probably though, go like see some of his plays live. Probably okay. Would enjoy them more that way.
Good point. How they were intended to be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Up next for me is Sabrina and Karina, which is a short story collection, and it was good. I think Goodreads told me that I gave it a 4 out of 5. I'm gonna bump that down to maybe a 3, 3.5. I listened to it. And at this moment, I can only think of 3 of the short stories.
Okay.
So that tells me that it wasn't as impactful as it maybe I initially thought it was when I gave the rating.
For me, I feel like that also like happens a lot with like audiobooks. Like you're in that experience of like really loving like the world that the narrator has put you in or that speakers put you in. And then like you like reflect back after like a couple of weeks, you're like, did I actually like that? Or did I just like how it was being told to me?
Yeah. And I wonder, because it was so well written and so interesting, but it was also very literary at times. So I wonder if I would have given it like a 4 out of 5 if I read it. Physically read it.
Well, maybe you'll one day get a physical copy and then you'll know. You never know. Next one for me was Return of the Soldier by Rebecca West. This is a very short read, came out in 1918, and I gave this a 3.5 out of 5. I liked it a lot more than I expected to. I read a couple other shorter works by Rebecca West, and I mean, this one was pretty enjoyable. I had a good time, even though the story was really sad.
Okay. Well, you love sad stories, so that is fun.
Like every book I'm listening is pretty much sad, so.
Yeah, sad girl summer.
Mm-hmm. Sad girl year round.
That's so true. Up next for me is Madness by Sam Sachs. That was a poetry collection, and it was so good. Did I give it a 5? I hope I did. I gave it a 4. I'm going to stick with that. Maybe there was something with me, but I remember... I remember being blown away by some of the poems, but now that I'm thinking back, I can't give you the titles of any of the ones I loved, so maybe I think I just have an awful memory.
I mean, that could be the case.
Thank you, never know. Depression. Just kidding.
Or are you?
Boom, boom. I'm not. Boom, boom. Da, da,
da, da. I don't know. I went into Law and Order there. The next book I read, I listened to Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zauner, the singer and songwriter for the band Japanese Breakfast. I do not listen to that band, but I would like to start. I've heard a lot of great things about their music. And this was a very powerful memoir. I really, really liked this. And I gave it a 4 out of 5. Or actually, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was like really fun. Not fun because it's a very sad story, but she tells it very well. And also like, it's so based in Korean food, and Korean food is like up there in like my favorite foods to eat. So just like hearing about it, I was like hungry the entire time, but also like very, very sad. Like, I don't know. It was nice. It was good. And I just see Zelda like walking up behind you like a little creep.
She's like clawed the shit out of my arm, which is fine. She does it all the time. I have that book on hold on Libby. I'm just waiting for it to get delivered. So,
so good. Would recommend. Very excited.
Yay. Up next for me is Beasts. Just struggling with that right now because my mouth is tired. By Joyce Carol Oates. I really liked this. Joyce Carol Oates has never been someone I've been drawn to. Her writing just isn't usually my cup of tea, but this was good. Definitely dark academia, dysfunctional relationships, just weird people being weird, which I love. And also I wonder if it's because it's so short that I also enjoyed it, where when a writing style that's not usually my thing, if it drags on, I just check out. So I would recommend this one. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
And that's also, you have a beautiful edition of that too, right?
Yeah.
It's so pretty to look at. Big fan of that. The next one for me is The Ballad of the Sad Cafe and Other Stories by Carson McCullers. The short story collection came out in 1951 and is the first work of Carson McCullers that I've ever read, which how? Like, I love Southern and American Gothic. Like, I need to get on that. I have some of her other works and I just haven't gotten around to them. I read this for the Tiny Book Challenge and I absolutely loved this. I also gave it a 4.5 out of 5. And my favorite story from this collection was definitely The Ballad of the Sad Cafe.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Up next for me is one of August's, I think is her all-time favorite play, but you can correct me, The God of Carnage by Yasmin Reza.
Yeah, it's up there for sure.
Okay. I know that you love it. I wasn't sure if it's like the play, but it's up there for sure. I also gave it a 5 out of 5. I have said before, plays aren't really my thing. I enjoy poetry more, but this was really funny. Oh, I gave it a 4. I'm gonna give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Okay, that sounds fair.
I'm changing a lot of ratings now, you know, hindsight. Mm-hmm. But I would really recommend this play. I would love to see it performed.
Yeah. They're in the first production in the United States because it was originally performed in France, or it might have been originally performed in English in England. I can't remember. No, it was in France. But in the first United States performance, James Gandolfini, known for his wonderful portrayal of Tony Soprano in The Sopranos, played one of the primary characters. And I saw a bootleg recording of it. And I love that man so much. So would recommend trying to find bootleg recordings, or if you can pay and find a recording of the play, that's great. Pirate the movie, though.
Yes.
It's important to pirate that movie, but love, love that play. You should also read her play Art.
Okay. I will.
It's not as good, but it's still very fun.
Cool.
Yeah. The next one for me was the last book that I read for the Tiny Book Challenge, and that's Transparent Things by Vladimir Nabokov, which came out in 1972. This one was really nice. I am a big fan of Vladimir Nabokov, and I gave it a 3.5 out of 5, mainly because I haven't read any of his works in a while, and I feel like when I'm reading more of his stuff, I like his work more, if that makes sense at all. Like, I have to be in, like, my Nabokov headspace and, like, just, like, reading a lot of his works at one time. But a bunch of my friends are in a Nabokov class right now, so maybe I'll be buddy reading some of his works with them.
Cool. Sounds like a dream come true with you.
Mm-hmm.
For you.
It doesn't matter as long as it involves Nabokov, right?
Yeah, good point. This book is also my last book for the Tiny Book Challenge, and that's Paradise Rot by, is it Jenny Haval? It's Norwegian, I think. And it was, okay, yeah. It was originally published in a different language that I can't find. So I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought it was going to be listed in the information, but it's not. But the important thing is that this is an amazing story. And I gave it a 5 out of 5, not just because of the Paradise Lost parallel. I'll tell you, that's what made me pick it up. But this, oh my God, I wish I could describe what kind of fever dream experience it was to read this book. I can't tell you what actually happened and what didn't happen, because like reality and fantasy, just like completely blended. It was disgusting, August. I think you would love it. Like bodily fluids, mushrooms, ooh, fungi growing out of the wall, like vivid rotten imagery.
I
honestly think you would love this. I'm surprised I loved it so much. I couldn't put it down.
Yeah, usually if there's like any like rotting or like maggot imagery, it's a hard pass for you.
Well, luckily no maggots show up.
Oh,
but just rotten fruit. Yeah. I'm not into the whole maggot thing, but rotten fruit, I was like, I can get into that. This was so good. Yeah, I just like still not entirely sure what actually happened, because what the fuck? It was so weird. But 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10 if I could.
Nice. Okay. I'm definitely wanting to pick that one up soon. Maybe we'll steal from your bookshelf next time I see you. Next book for me was a book that was on our, or on my to read list for this summer. And that's A Burning by Megha Mohamdar, which came out in 2020. This is the one that everyone's seen around. It has that beautiful cover with all the flames. Really, really fun. This was a great book, great physical book to read. I loved the humor in this. Times like very difficult to read because obviously there's like the cultural commentary and political commentary. But I thoroughly enjoyed reading this and I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Nice. So this next one we read for an upcoming episode, that's Ariadne by Jennifer Saint. I'm not going to give you our rating because we did say we were going to save it for the ep. So listen to that. And at the very end, because we have two very special guests, Jess from Jess Decker Reads on Instagram and Noelle Gallagher on YouTube, both dear friends of the pod. We have an episode with them and we all four share our ratings. Mm-hmm. So to be determined.
Isn't that coming out the same day as this? Right?
It can be. So if it is, go listen to it.
I think it might be. So might be there. And this is also the next book that I read and the last book that I read in July. So I also closed out with Ariadne.
Yay. I guess it's my turn. This is the last book I read in July, which is The Final Revival of Opal and Neve/Nev by Donnie Walton. This was on my summer TBR. It was on my 2021 TBR and it was so good. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I what did I like about it? I love the way the story is told, like that journalistic narrative, like interview style. It was like Daisy Jones and the Six, which I also loved, but I think the actual plot was a lot better for The Final Revival, which nothing was wrong with the plot of Daisy Jones, but like this was more interesting. I learned a lot about like 70s rock and how important Black women were to the movement, which I shamefully did not know. And it was just really fun. I loved the main character a lot. Complicated stories.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of this reminded me of the documentary. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called 20 Feet from Stardom. It's Mm-mm. about background vocalists through a variety of decades, but really focused in on like the 60s and 70s. And a lot of these backing vocalists are obviously fantastic singers, worked for so many artists, are on so many different records, and they don't get really any notice or attention. So something worth watching. Also, a lot of these backing singers are people of color, so acknowledging their amazing contribution to so much great art.
Wow, thank you for sharing that.
It's a really stellar documentary. There's one woman, she like talks about Gimme Shelter with the Rolling Stones, and it's just a fantastic story. Highly recommend. Speaking of Rolling Stones, Rip Charlie, really bummed about that. But moving on, I guess. Sorry, a little sidetrack.
It's okay.
First book I read of August was Detransition Baby by Tori Peters. This book came out this year in 2021. And I gave this a 3.5 out of 5 only because I listened to the audiobook. I think this would be a 4 if I read a physical copy, and I wish that I had. So
okay.
Keep that in mind.
Interesting. Okay. It's such a bummer when that happens, when you've listened to a book and you're like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. The audiobook was good. It just like, I don't know. I wish I had a physical copy.
Yeah, for sure. I know that feeling. The next for me, oh God. The next one for me is the first book I read in August, which is Dear Santurin. It says, I keep in my head reading it Dear Santurin, But I listened to the audiobook, and the author, Akwaeke Emezi, they read it, and they said Dear Centurion is almost like, I don't know if that's an accent thing, if that's me being an idiot and just mishearing it. Who knows? But I'm going to say Dear Centurion, a Black Spirit memoir, 5 out of 5. I knew I loved Akwaeke Emezi. They wrote The Death of Vivek Oji, and I want to read Freshwater, as August just mentioned. I think they might be like one of my new favorite authors. I'm just thinking of like one specific chapter, and I just fucking loved it. So please go read it.
Nice. I need to pick up Death of Vivek Oji and basically everything else that they had written, because wow, I've only heard fantastic things. Okay. The next book for me is Interpreter of Maladies by Jhumpa Lahiri, which came out in 1999. This collection of short stories was really fun. I listened to the audiobook for it on Libby, thoroughly enjoyed. My friend Rosette loves this author, so I knew I was going to like it because we have very similar tastes. And she also said that The Namesake by her is also phenomenal, and the film is really great too. So I will be reading that soon.
What is the author's name again? Sorry.
Jhumpa Lahiri.
Okay.
I apologize if I mispronounce any part of their name.
Thank you. Sorry, I just like missed that part. The next one for me is The Final Girl Support Group, which I've seen everywhere, by Grady Hendrix. This book was okay. It was a solid 3 out of 5. I listened to it where I was like, I'm glad I listened to it, but I would never read it again. I'm glad I didn't buy it. I also felt like it was the kind of story that was really interesting in concept, and I just didn't like where the story went. Like I would have personally taken a different direction, but it's not my story. Or I wish this was like a dark comedy on Hulu, rather than a book, which it could be both.
Maybe they'll make it into a show. You never know.
You heard it here, Hulu. I want copyright rights.
Yeah, you're totally able to have those. You're very much entitled to those rights.
Just for the idea of the adaptation.
I'm sure it's already been bought. Next book, really, really excited for this one. Another Donald Ray Pollock book, the author of Devil All the Time, A King. I love him so much. I read The Heavenly Table, which is his book that came out in 2016, I believe, right after Devil All the Time. And I love this man, 5 out of 5. I want to write him like fan letters and everything, but he seems like he likes his privacy. But this one was so much fun. Really set up like Devil All the Time, where there's so many characters that all interact in different ways, all come together in different ways, and just absolutely stellar. I need to get a physical copy of this. I need to get a copy of his short story collection, Knock'em Stiff. I just love this man so much.
Oh, I love that for you.
And I think there's maggots in this one as well. So, you know, it's just chef's kiss.
It's everything August wants. Up next for me is Ithaca Forever, Penelope Speaks by Luigi Malerba. This book, I have such complicated feelings about this book. I just wrote on Goodreads yesterday. I finished this book like 4 or 5 days ago, and I've been waiting to update Goodreads because I was like, how do I actually feel about this book? I have no clue. It was really another thing, really interesting concept. For context, it was translated from Italian, so I don't know if what's missing for me was kind of lost in translation. Because it has great reviews, it's really interesting. It's basically about Odysseus's return to Ithaca, but split between the perspective of Penelope and Odysseus, and they have a really interesting and dysfunctional relationship that is like rooted in a lot of love and respect for each other, but they're both tricksters, and so it's kind of fun to like see both their perspectives. But to be honest, I was really bored by Odysseus' perspective because everything was so true to the original epic, so it didn't feel like the story was at all enriched. And even Penelope's perspective kind of felt like it was Odysseus's story, where I was like, this isn't really Penelope's voice. All that being said, sorry for that like long rant, is that I can't decide between a 3 or a 4 because I start to go with a 3 and I'm like, well, I wouldn't put it on the same level as The Final Girl Support Group. And I start to give it a 4, but I'm like, no, I usually give 4s to books I loved, and I didn't love it. So
maybe a 3.5.
I'm thinking a 3.5. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to have to do that. But even that, I'm like, it doesn't feel fair to the quality of the writing, you know, when you read a book like that. So I'll probably leave it unrated, but that.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah, this one, I remember when you were like, we're reading it, and before you were reading it, how excited you were for it. And I also want to borrow this one from you. So
you should
be ready for me to steal all the books off of the bookshelves.
What's new?
The next one for me is one that I mentioned in our translation episode, which just came out. And that's The Heart of the Dog by Mikhail Bulgakov. Loved this. This author wrote The Master and Margarita, so already I'm pretty familiar with their writing style. Absolutely love his writing style. And this came out in 1925 and then was banned and censored widely, and then was published in English for the first time in 1968. So very similar to Master and Margarita. And I gave this a 4.5 out of 5. Very, very fun, very wild ride. I listened to the audiobook of it. Listening to the narrator of the audiobook do like dog howling like and stuff throughout it was just really entertaining. And I'm glad that I listened to this one. It's pretty fun.
Oh my God, I love that they put in voice effects.
Yeah, he just says, oh, because it's about a scientist that turns a dog into a man.
Yeah.
While also being commentary on like the Bolsheviks and Russia.
You shared on Instagram that that book made you want to read Night Bitch, right?
Because that's about a mom turning into a dog, right? That's my understanding of it. So seems like they might just have like good similar vibes to pair with each other.
Love that. Okay, so the last official, well, not official, the last book I've read of August so far is Arsenic and Adobo, Tita Rosie's Kitchen, Mystery Number One. I didn't know this was going to be a series, but guess who's going to read all of them? Me. It was really good. I actually just finished this today while I was walking to work. I gave it a 3.5. Sorry, I was looking at my stars. 3.5 because it was a really good audiobook, told really well. It was well written. The story was structured well. It was very predictable, very predictable. But that to me wasn't the point, where I was like, this is just fun. The characters are interesting. They all like have interesting connections. And also it dealt with food the whole time. So I just wanted to eat. I was just thinking about all this delicious food. And I heard there's going to be a second one, which I'll probably listen to as well.
Nice. Very cool. And then the last book that I have read so far in August is Stoner by John Williams, which came out in 1965. 5 out of 5. Easy. So just wow. Honestly, as also like personal connections, this takes place at Mizzou. No one in my family has gone to Mizzou. We're Kansas State people and sadly KU people, but just like being in the Midwest and having that environment and that portrayal of like, I don't know, just like academia and like, you know, Stoner's life, which I just loved it. Okay. Wow. Everyone should read this book. Took me a while to read this one. It took me like over a month. I was reading it slowly, and it was one of those ones where it was like so beautiful. I didn't want it to be over, or something would happen. It would just like stay with me for the entirety of the day. And it's like, well, how can I read anything after that? Like, I just need to think about this moment for a while. And I absolutely loved it. Want to read a bunch of John Williams after that.
I love that. You have such a beautiful copy too.
Oh, love that one. I love, and I picked it up. We were in Green Apple together and you're like, August, I saw this book over there and I think that you'll really like it. And you went over and showed me and I already had it in my hands.
That's how on brand it was for you.
It was like sad academic, early 1900s. What more could I want? Should we share what we're currently reading right now?
You read my mind. That's exactly what I was going to ask. I'm reading two books. I think you're also reading two. So I'll share one.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm listening to, just checked it out on my train ride home, The Push by, This is a copy or a book we got from Penguin, but I actually am listening to the audiobook. So Ashley Audrain wrote this book and it's about motherhood. I'm an hour into it. And I got to say, if it ended right now, an hour into it, I'd give it a 5 out of 5.
Wow.
I am hooked. Like, I love the way it's written. It like so far alternates between second person and first person, which I love that style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really good.
Nice. I saw a bunch of people were comparing it to We Need to Talk About Kevin. So I'm spacing out on that author's name right now, but definitely want to read that one very soon. I am listening to an audiobook on Libby right now. I'm a little bit over halfway through, and it's A Single Man by Christopher Isherwood. I have seen the film adaptation of this book, and it is perfect. Gay academic in the 1960s. I'm sorry, but like, is that my vibe or what? I don't know what else I would want from this. Like maybe some like murder or something, or a rotting flesh, but I don't, that's not coming in this one. But wow, I'm sad and I'm loving it. It's really good so far.
I'm glad. I mean, it does sound right up your alley.
I like spam texted Kendra the other day about it. I was like, you need to read this book. I don't know if you'll like it, but it's so good. And it's beautiful. And the film is also beautiful. I mean, Colin Firth, Julianne Moore, that one guy from Skins and Mad Max, whose name I can never remember.
Mm-hmm. I'll never get it either. It's fine. Yeah. It's gone.
The guy from The Great. He's great. but yeah, really loving it so far, and definitely want to rewatch the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Should we share what else that we're both reading? Because we're reading something together for a hopefully upcoming episode.
Yes, I think for sure. Like, it's been in high demand. Tis the season for Dark Academia, which is all year round for August. and I also just love it.
Mm-hmm. I think year round for both of us. We both like a Dark Academia read, and this is a big one.
Oh yeah, this is
The Secret History by Donna Tartt. Ooh, I'm so excited for this one. I've only read a chapter, so don't hold me to still being excited, but our really good friend Emily loves this book. Emily's also like a massive Latin and Greek person, so trust her responses to this. But can I tell you something cute but also horrible? This book is dedicated to Bret Easton Ellis, the author of American Psycho and Less Than Zero, but was dedicated in 1992, which was before he became a Trumper garbage can.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she's like recanted that, and like any new copies being made probably took that out.
I don't know. I don't know Donna Tartt's politics. I do know Bret Easton Ellis's though, and I disagree with them. So
and they suck.
Yeah, I can rubber stamp that they are garbage. But that's what we're reading right now. How are you liking Secret History so far?
I mean, I'm only like 10 pages in, but I honestly feel like I know the story very well, although I don't remember a lot because Emily definitely gave me the play-by-play because she was so obsessed with it at the time. So I'm excited. I know I'm going to like it. I'm hoping I'll love it. And I'm kind of excited just because it's like, it's going to get me in the mood for spooky season.
Yes.
And I'm just so ready for it to be cold and to be like, around September, I just want to be walking around on a college campus in a turtleneck. And so I think this is going to get me there.
Yeah, there was like a line talking about like a character was walking around campus smoking and wearing cashmere. And I'm like, what's a better vibe than that?
Yeah, brings me back to the glory days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. School. Wow. So that's what we read in July and August. I'm sorry if we gave any subpar reviews to or ratings to books that you love, or if we rated books highly that you dislike. You know, everyone likes different things, but let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any recommendations. We really, really appreciate them. And you can do that by messaging us on Instagram. You can find us at Bookdump Podcast, and also find us individually. You can find me, August, at Iggy Poop.
And me, Kendra, at Kendra Lapp. We also would love to hear your feedback or just to get some praise from you, because we're needy. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please first subscribe. That's so important to us. And then that shows up on your feed immediately. But also give us a 5-star review and leave us a written comment. That just helps other people find our podcast. And if you're on Spotify, you can't give us a review, but we do want your feedback. So just message us on Instagram, but you can follow us. So follow us on Spotify as well.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We hope that you're having a great day.
Bye-bye.